The public turns out in droves to discuss the Sugar House streetcar, Great Salt Lake Minerals is scaling back their expansion plans, and the Medicaid Community Work Group meets at the Capitol for the first time. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Most Salt Lake City residents and local businesses in Sugar House do not like the streetcar alignment favored by Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker and a number of Salt Lake City Council members. At least that's the takeaway from last night's public hearing at City Hall, where several hundred people shuffled in hoping to have a say in the project. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
The question before the council is this: should the second phase of the Sugar House streetcar travel east up 2100 South or north along 1100 East? Lori Layton owns Boxing is for Girls, a gym on 1100 East. She delivered a petition to the city with signatures from businesses and residents in the area who are against the 1100 East alignment. She's mainly concerned the construction on the street will drive away business.
There's a less damaging and more effective route. I know you can and will find it. 1,565 of your constituents, citizens of Salt Lake and Sugar House, are counting on you.
Others say the street is too narrow for a streetcar. They argue it will cause congestion. But a group of Westminster students spoke in favor of the 1100 East alignment. Lexi Banks says the streetcar would cut her daily commute to campus in half and help her get around. She says many of her fellow students agree.
They said they would use the streetcar every day to get to and from campus and to everywhere that they shop in Sugar House, everywhere they intern downtown. Really, it would just reunite the entire Salt Lake Valley.
The first phase of the project is slated to be completed by year's end. It runs from the Central Point track station on 200 West to about 1050 East. The council is scheduled to vote on a preferred route on May 7th. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Great Salt Lake Minerals is scaling back its expansion plans along the eastern and western shores of the lake. Yesterday, it submitted a new application to the Army Corps of Engineers asking for 52,000 acres of land for new evaporation ponds. Linda Freitas with Friends of the Great Salt Lake says the new plan, down from 91,000 acres, avoids some critical wildlife habitat.
The best news of this proposal is that they are not going to expand in Bear River Bay, which was what they had originally proposed.
The company had also dropped its request for an additional 350,000 acre-feet of water from the lake. Company spokesperson Dave Hyam says the new plan will still let the company produce more of its most profitable product, sulfate of potash.
A select group of healthcare providers, advocates, and community leaders met at the Capitol Tuesday to discuss Medicaid and the state's pending decision on whether to expand the program to include more uninsured low-income Utahns. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Utah Department of Health Executive Director David Patton brought together about 20 people for this community Medicaid work group.
So what we're doing today is to say, let's bring the community together to make sure we're getting all the different perspectives and all the input we need to make a good decision. There's no real rush to make this decision. And so why not study it? Why not look at all the different viewpoints, all the different facts and ideas that we can, just to make sure that we're making a good decision that's going to cost the state of Utah a good amount of money.
Patton says the group's role is not to provide a single recommendation to the governor, but to provide information about the advantages and disadvantages of various options the state might pursue. Those options could include a full expansion of Medicaid, as specified in the Federal Affordable Care Act, a partial expansion, or state-based solutions, including premium assistance, block grants, or charity care. Patton says the group will meet monthly and present its findings to the governor in September. The federal mandate for all individuals to have health insurance goes into effect in January next year. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A group of protesters from California made their presence known at the annual shareholders meeting of Wells Fargo Bank yesterday in Salt Lake. The Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment joined NEDAP of New York and the Salt Lake-based Peaceful Uprising, protesting outside the Grand America Hotel. They hope to draw attention to their claims of illegal foreclosures affecting millions of people across the country, as well as predatory payday-type loans. Annette Smith of Rockland, California, says she's not proud she took out the Wells Fargo equivalent of a payday loan for $500 and became trapped for years with half her paycheck going to payments and fees. She says John Stumpf, the CEO of Wells Fargo, is telling shareholders one thing while mistreating customers.
And he talks about ethics, and the moral thing to do, and that they would never make a business decision or move forward in any way with any of their staff or customers if it wasn't right. And this is not right.
A spokesperson for Wells Fargo, Rochelle Messick, declined a recorded interview but told KUER the bank denies targeting disadvantaged communities. She recommends customers rely on the many free educational resources available when making loan decisions, including hands-on banking from Wells Fargo.
The threat of a bomb aboard a tour bus shut down a highway on the Navajo Reservation near Mexican Hat yesterday. Highway 163 was shut down for several hours while traffic was rerouted along Highway 191. The road was reopened after a bomb squad searched the bus and found no explosives. The FBI is investigating. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, April 24th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.